103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Sod Show. It is 103.2 Dublin City FM for a Friday afternoon. And if you're on the podcast, well, it's probably not 3 o'clock Friday afternoon on the airwaves of Dublin. I'm Brian Green, he's Peter Donegan, and this is Horticulture all the way until 3:30 this afternoon. On today's programme, Peter will be catching up with Rosie Hardy at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show. Rosie was designing a garden and we got to chat to her in depth about what it all means and how it's put together. And you can hear that in a couple of moments' time. First of all, if you want to get in touch with us during the week on email, it's info@sodshow.com. On Twitter right now during the show, it's at Sodshow on Twitter. And if you want to get in touch with us on the website, it's sodshow.com, where you can listen back to the last 5 and a bit years of Sod Shows. They're all there to be listened back to. So let's get straight to Chelsea and our Peter Donegan.
Oh God, how do I describe this? It's like when you meet that person that you've always admired. But Rosemary Hardy, you are very welcome to the Sod Show.
Well, thank you very much. It's lovely to be on here.
Do I call you Rosie? Do I call you Rosemary?
Rosemary is only when I'm in the wrong.
Right, okay. I'll call you Rosie then. Okay, so you have a Rosie working for you, and then Rosie is your PR girl.
We do, yeah. We have lots of Rosies. It's quite entertaining.
I was saying to one of your Rosies.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. So I'm Rosie with the Y. The other two are Rosies with IEs. So we've had to have Rosie I, because it's Rosie Inslee, and Rosie H, because that's Rosie Harkness. And I just stay as Rosie.
If we were in a pub in Dublin, this would be a really difficult night out if I had a few Guinness on me, Rosie. That's the nicest way to put it.
You don't need to have a few Guinness. It's difficult enough.
Wow. Okay, you're right. You've only got two to deal with. Let's go to the serious matter of horticulture and why we are on this Garden Radio Show podcast. You, to me, are famed for many reasons. Can we go back a little bit to, I guess, what you do originally for a living? Is that a fair way to... It'll be a fair way to put it when we get to the end of the show. You'll understand.
Yeah, that's fine. No, well, I run a nursery with my husband, so Hardy's Cottage Garden Plants, and we produce herbaceous perennials and exhibit at Chelsea Flower Show every year inside the marquee, doing a marquee stand. And it's now my 25th year exhibiting at Chelsea, which is seems an awful long time, to be honest.
Well, let's go there then. And I know we are due to have your husband on the show as well. So we'll get to that and we'll get to the inside. That's the inside of the floral marquee, as it should be known, in Chelsea 2016. But we'll try and take this, I guess, on your individual level. And believe me, folks, you don't want to miss that show when that comes along. But how good are you at the floral marquee stage level? It is more than impressive every single year that I have seen it.
Right, so I have managed to achieve 20 gold medals.
Holy God.
So that makes me, and I don't like saying this because I'm dreadful, it makes me the most woman with the most medals for herbaceous perennials in the marquee.
Ever.
Ever. Yes, so but it's not as good as Hillier's. You see, they're up to 100. So
hold on. If you were interviewing me, Rosie, I'd be bigging myself up a lot. Let's just get that down, if we can, in print, verbal, voice format. 20 gold RHS medals
at Chelsea.
At Chelsea, you can't get any higher than that.
No, it isn't. I mean, the RHS Chelsea gold medal is like winning the Olympics. So
without question.
And everybody know, you know, you can go around the world, everybody knows the Chelsea Flower Show, and that gold medal status just gives you that one notch above anywhere else. The only trouble is that having 20, you have to keep on keeping that standard up. And it's not that you are competing against anybody, you're really sort of competing against yourself, which means that the pressure is put on by you. rather than the outside world, because you want to keep the standard higher. It's like being on a pedestal. You'll soon fall off the top.
Is that that sounds like a hard way to maybe treat yourself, is the wrong way to describe, but it sounds like a lot of pressure to put on yourself. Is it that you kind of you yearn for it, you want it, you really, really, really want to do this, but you've also got to do something different every single year?
it's a bit of both, really. I don't like doing the same display every single time. I get bored. Yeah. So I need to make it different. Okay, the plant material may be very, very similar, but we've always got new plants around, or the season changes fractionally and something that hasn't made it before or hasn't made it for 4 or 5 years makes it to the show. And that makes it interesting. And I do enjoy it to a certain degree. I have a very big love-hate relationship with Chelsea because it is a very tricky time of year. It was freezing cold up to 2 weeks ago. We had frost on the ground, things were not growing, and then suddenly they all go spurt into growth, and you know, you're thinking, well, they've gone over, that's coming in, and I don't know what I'm getting, because I come up to the show and my manager puts together, and she just sends me 250 crates of plants and says, here you go, work your magic and make the displays with that lot.
Is it fair to say that you are the face of the company?
Totally, yes, it is, yeah. Unfortunately, it is, and I can't step back. I've tried it. If I step back, we don't get there, so I have to. It has to be me, and that's how it is.
The women should be the boss, and they usually always are. That's the way I see it. You made the jump, and correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but you made the jump after 20, 25 years of doing show gardening in the floral marquee.
Floral Pavilion.
Yeah, in the Floral Pavilion. Building a display, my apologies to clarify that, in the Floral Pavilion to doing a show garden in 2016.
Yes,
I have. Your first time.
First ever show garden at Chelsea, and not a small one. I haven't gone for an artisan one or one of the little fresh ones. No, it's a big main avenue garden, so full on, large garden, first time ever at Chelsea, 25 years. You'd think I'd know better, really, wouldn't you?
Just when, you know, it's that kind of...
That's not like putting enough stress on myself to do these things.
Well, it's more that you did the floral... Well, Hardy's did do the floral marquee as well.
Yes, well, I still am.
Well, right, okay, I forgot you're the boss. Okay. So let's for those at home who've maybe never been to Chelsea before and might be thinking about coming, let's say, in the future, or... For those who have been in the past and which remember your stance and maybe couldn't get there this year, can we do two things as the best floral marquee display builder, creator and designer? Can you maybe give me a type of definition on what constitutes what you would do inside as versus what you have then now chosen to do, let's say, outside?
So inside it is very much all about the plants. And we always do a display where people can now walk through, so people can get closer to the plant material, which they love, and it makes you feel as though you're inside a garden. And that is very much plants, maybe the odd little bits and pieces of sculpture in there, and it's made to look like a garden that you'd be in. Outside, there's a lot of engineering. There are pathways, there's big sculptures, there's water features, there are big brick and flint walls. So there's quite a lot of different materials and ways to look at it. I still come from it from a planting point of view, though, because plants are my love. So the garden still has to depict the plants that I grow, but it's been put into a very conceptual way with big sweeping paths, beautiful water, big walls, and everything has had to be engineered or manufactured off-site and brought in and put together.
When we take it from the floral marquee to the garden side, let's go at this from a judging angle, because again, you would know logically, no better woman, how to win gold consistently year on year on year on year. How did your head work with the judging inside? How does it work inside versus outside?
As a, I'm still doing the planting very much in my same style. So if anyone comes and looks at the garden, they know perfectly well that's my style of planting. But the plants are put in a different way. They're still tilted and put in lovely groups, but you have to have it much fuller outside in the garden. And you then have to work with the structures and pathways that you've got there. So you've got to look at it from different angles. So it is slightly different, and we're planting into the ground in here, whereas in the marquee, we're just placing it on the tops and making it look as though it's planted.
Okay, so there we have the slight difference between.
Yeah.
How did the journey in 2016 go? Was it a bit where you turned around and went, yeah, I've been here for X amount of time, and you would have obviously been aware of how things were maybe done outside, having, I guess, lived here for once a year for a period of time, but did you kind of get into it and then have to experience it yourself? Was it a little bit new? That's no reflection on you to say, it's just that you weren't aware.
Yeah, it is a different feeling. I've never been here when the site's so empty and things are being built. It's quite impressive to see the marquee go up and actually there's bare space in the soil. So it is a totally different feeling. And I've been here, and you know, it's 16 days of build up and we still haven't got to the show being open in there, and that's a long time to be away from home and actually doing this. And I don't live in cities very well. I'm a country bumpkin, really.
Can we go back a slight bit then? Who is Rosie Hardy? Where your parents, did you bring the nursery on from them? Because like a lot of cases, that's the usual story. Or are bit like the Horses Lowkite thing?
I'm a Forces brat. So I was born abroad, brought up abroad. We moved every 18 months to various places, Russia, Singapore, Germany, all over. And then went to Scotland and then came down south of England. So didn't really settle anywhere until I was about 8.5 years old. We settled in Northumberland. So I come from Northumberland. Basically, that's where I say my home is. And I used to go out on my ponies and I used to love the wildlife and the everything that grew, the wildflowers, and that's the thing. And I never wanted to work inside. So that's the reason why I ended up in gardening. And really, I started off in vegetable growing, then changed to the ornamental side of things. So I set up the nursery. We did a little bit of landscaping, my husband and I together. And then we did the nursery together from then onwards. So we set it up. He's better with dates. I can never remember how long it's been going. But I think we've been roughly going about 28, 29 years with the nursery. So.
Do you remember the first plant that you ever grew?
The first thing I ever grew was a pulsatilla. Pulsatilla vulgaris. And I grew that up in Northumberland and put it in Mum's rockery. It was beautiful. One of my favourite plants.
Most people, when they ask me that question, and you kind of go, well, it was a radish, or, you know, it was a horse chestnut, you know, fell on the ground and I put it in a pot. But you didn't really pick something. You picked something with quite a long name.
Exactly. But I love them. The past flowers are beautiful. They're really super.
So why the herbaceous side of it? What was the lean into that? And in that question, I guess, did you have a tough years? So to clarify that and to back that one up for those of you at home, not to insult you in any way either, but we would have had trends and you have things that come and go. We would have had log roll back in the day.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we kind of had, let's say, the dwarf conifers and things come and go, and herbaceous would have had its time. I found it quite difficult about maybe 10 years ago to get herbaceous perennials into gardens. Clients they didn't want them. They wanted bamboos and they wanted, you know, hard landscaping. And
absolutely.
All of a sudden now we're starting to see this change again. Were you there when it went? Did it come back? Did it affect you?
We've always had the herbaceous going really quite well. I mean, in the herbaceous line, it's gone from being maybe soft colours to bright colours. Grass is mixed in, and then the grasses have gone out again. And it has gone up and down, but we've had a constant stream of people who really do enjoy their herbaceous and mix it in with the shrubby growth. So if you've got smaller gardens, some people are quite happy to have the long season flowering herbaceous rather than always constantly changing the annual bits. But having said that, a lot of London gardens are now using herbaceous as bedding. and they're putting in spring planting, and they're putting in winter planting and changing it round. So it's a different way of using it. It's quite interesting.
When I was growing up, God, you hear me, I sound like I'm ancient. But when I was growing up, I remember two things. And so I used to buy all the secondhand books with the illustrations. They were always that old and that affordable. 50p usually along those lines, that they had the black and white illustrations, no colour photographs, and cacti's were always get a piece of paper and make a loop around it, and you could lift it out of the pot, and herbaceous plants always showed two forks back to back and teasing them apart. Do you read those? Do you look back in those books? Have they changed? Is it still the same, or has growing and I guess the gardening of them, has that evolved or changed in any way?
I think it probably has, because it used to be all grown, field grown. All herbaceous stock was field grown, and it was sent out bare root to customers. It wasn't in containers. So now everything is in containers. It can go out as smaller plants or bigger plants. Herbaceous is not that brilliant done as plugs, though. People always ask us, and it's not good. You've got to grow it on. It needs to be a reasonable sized plant for it to then go and work well. So yes, I think it has changed slightly from that point of view, and I hate that two forks and splitting it. Because the fact that you break the damn thing, so you kill your back as well. And I tell people, don't even do that, don't go there, just blooming well cut it through the middle with a spade or with a saw. They're not going to come to any harm, because they need root pruning when they're like that.
I remember when I was in college, I was studying horticulture, and they said they had, rudbeckias that we had. And
oh, yeah, beautiful, lovely, really all tied together. Yeah. It's so difficult to split apart.
And I was kind of, you know, I'd done the first year, so I had the certificate bid, and I was going into year two and onto year three, and they went into propagation, and he threw this big, huge clump up on the table, and he pulled out a saw. Yes. And he started cutting, and my head was kind of going, but I am of horticulture. I've been reading these books since I was 6, 7.
Yes,
how are we going to get the two forks up on the bench? Are we going? And he just hacksawed the thing apart and just went boom, stuffed it into a pot, and it grew.
Gross, they're brilliant. Yeah. It's absolutely, yeah. That's our biggest tool we use on the nursery, our saws. Then we just cut them up and off they go, root prune, you done into pots. They're no problem at all. So you make one plant four very easily, giant plug, stick them in a pot, and they grow away brilliantly. They getting root pruning. It's not hard work.
You get to meet a lot of people at shows like this. When people come up and say to you what I have just said, and you go, no, just bish, give it a... Did they kind of go, did you hear what Rosie Hardy said?
They do. It's quite funny, because I do talks and lectures, and I'll quite often do that and show people how to split it up, and they'll go, what? And I go, well, it's so much easier. I don't like hard work. I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it hard for myself. I'm going to the easiest way possible.
Let's go into the 2016 show garden at Chelsea. It is a large garden. It was and is, if you're unsure of this, so if you're listening to this in podcast in the future, folks, at Sod Show on Twitter. And we'll put you in touch with Rosie. And you're on the Twitter thing, Rosie, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. Yes.
Go ahead, have you got the handle?
My handle is, I think it's Rosie...
You are Rosie Hardy.
It's Rosie Hardy 62, isn't it, I think?
I'm unsure. We'll stick that in. Brian will put that in at the end of this show. But tell me a little bit about the garden itself, because from when I looked at it, apart from the trees, the majestic trees, the backdrop of the stone wall, and I'm hesitant to describe them as gabions because they are
typical gabions, but they are gabions.
I was about to say they are the most, if they are gabions, they are the most beautiful gabions I've ever seen in my life. And then one mother of a, it's not even a sphere, nothing is kind of really, I mean, it's difficult to describe it.
Well, it is, The idea of the garden is it's all about chalk streams and chalk downland where we live in Hampshire. And when you look at what the microscopic planktonic creatures were that created chalk, that is what these Neolithic shapes are. So we've got coccolith plates down on the bottom as the stepping stones, and then a coccosphere as the big sculpture at the back. And if you Google it, you will find these are still around today, and they're in the seas, but it's what makes up the chalk. Then they die, their skeletons fall, make the sedimentary rock, and so that's why. So we use that as our sculptural piece. Locally to us, high security banknote paper is made, and it's all because of the River Test. And they people who use the water to make the watermarks in the banknote paper, then realised that also their watermarks were being forged. So they then came up with the silver thread. So you know there is a silver thread woven through banknotes. So the idea is that our path and our stream intertwine and go through, and there is a silver thread stream going right the way through the garden, including using the silver threads on the gabions, which are completely different. I knew I always wanted to use gabion walls with the flint and brick, because where we are, wherever you get chalk, you always get flint. There's always flint and brick buildings, and I wanted to depict that. And I thought, well, I'll use gabions. And I'm thinking, no, they're so industrial. And while I was out in New Zealand, I saw this style of gabion basket being used, and I just searched for it, and we were able to find them and bring them over. So it's probably the first time people have ever seen this style of gabion basket.
I have been admiring what you have. I feel like it's like meeting John Lennon. It's literally, it's unreal. It genuinely is an absolute honour. But I've been admiring what you've been doing from a floral, let's call it that, to differentiate inside the marquee for so long. And to come out and see the garden, the first thing that struck me was, yes, the planting is out of this world. There's no question about it. The backdrop, literally out of this world. It looks like it has been sitting in Chelsea for all of its time, yet extremely well maintained. The one thing that did stand out, apart from the great big silver, let's call it, sphere that we can walk through, at the same token, there was that path. I kind of said in my head, is this Rosemary only when you're in trouble, but is this Rosie being... It's a dangerous thing when you do something that is a little bit not square or not what you're used to. And also, this is your first show garden. Why and what? And did you trouble with that in any way?
No, I didn't at all, because I love the idea of the... I always wanted to use bonded glass as a feature, and I've often wanted to use it inside the marquee, but it's too difficult to put it in there. So from my point of view, I just wanted to use that to highlight, and it picks up the colours within there. I have christened it the Path of Bling, because it is pretty wild. But when the sun comes out, it sparkles. When it goes down, you still get a little bit of sparkle there. And it's not so in your face that it gets, you know, it stands out. It's a bit of fun. You know, this is a concept garden. It's not meant to be... you could have it in your garden, absolutely no problem at all. But it's not, it's telling a story. It's telling a story of the chalk stream going down, and if we extract too much water, you end up with a dry stone riverbed at the bottom there, and you have precarious stepping stones that you can walk out through. And that's sort of the theme of it, running right the way through with sumptuous plantings and then going to much more sparse plantings at the bottom. But it gives people the idea, you know, in Hampshire we have coppiced hazel, so we dug up our own coppiced hazel from our woodlands, which is why we've got those in the background. The hedge looks as though it's been there for years. You know, we put that in very, very early. We got a lot of this planting in really, really early so that it settles and it just looks natural, which is exactly what it does. And it's had a bit of rain on it and it's all just going, hey, we're fine. And a lot of it was in bud when it went in, and now it's all coming through and coming into flower.
If you know the Sod Show, you'll know that I proposed to Anne-Marie Powell and she turned me down. I have now met the woman of my dreams. Rosemary Hardy, thank you so much. It's been a real wonderful pleasure and a real treat. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter, and thanks, Rosie. What a wonderful kind of insight into what the garden designer is thinking as they put something together, taking things from their local environment and condensing it into a concept show garden at RHS Chelsea. Yes, at Rosie Hardy 62 is the Twitter account. You were definitely right on that, lads. And you can get in touch with Rosie there. In the future, we will be interviewing Rosie's husband, Rob, on a future Sod Show. So stay around and listen out for that. Right now, let's go to a quick song of the week. And in keeping with the garden, it's going to be a real wild one from Iggy Pop.
I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild
And nothing does stop for the Iggy Pop 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is the Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, the way to get in touch right now on Twitter @Sodshow and during the week by email info@sodshow.com and check out our website sodshow.com with all the back catalogue of shows. We're with you each Friday at 3 o'clock on the radio and on podcast from around tea time, so check us out. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. See you. Bye bye.